We're going to do an exercise now, and this is where it might seem a little bit more challenging for what we're about to do. And I invite you to relax into the challenge and let that challenge surprise you with what might happen. In some ways, what I'm going to ask you to do is not so surprising, because if you're doing mindfulness practice, you've been doing it for a long time. So one of the things that Buddhist practitioners have confidence in, part of kind of at the heart of what we have confidence in, is the immediacy of direct experience. That the Dharma, this thing called the Dharma that moves through us, that is us, this intelligence or this patterning or the lawfulness of life, that is something that moves in the immediacy of daily life, of daily experience, in our direct experience, what's happening right now. And so Buddhists have confidence in not only in the immediacy of life, but more importantly, I think, in the value of being present, simply present, for life as it's lived immediately in the present moment, how it's experienced. And then there's a learning, and learning how to get out of the way so we can just be here for the direct experience, unmediated by our stories, our interpretations, our assigning of meaning to it, unmediated by our tendency to wander off and protect ourselves, be defensive, unmediated by memories of the past or thoughts about the future. Just right now, what's happening right now? Just that. That's where the Dharma at its heart really resides, in this immediacy of our life as it's being experienced. And so I would like you to have an experience of this. Will you explore this world of the immediate experience and do it in a way that you can sustain your attention over time to see what happens when you maintain and sustain your attention in the present moment as it's unfolding, as it's living? What do you experience directly? When you're there to experience your direct experience, what do you experience? What are all the different dimensions and aspects of your present moment experience? What is it that you, when you hear a sound, Is there a sound that you hear? That's very simple. You hear a sound, and there's that which hears. The directness, the immediacy of that, maybe what hears the sound, that registers it or becomes it. There's the immediacy of the sensations of the body, like we talked about earlier. The body itself is an organ of perception or of awareness. And so we can feel the immediacy of that. What's that like? What is it? What is it like? Both the experience itself and what it's like to experience it that way. So you don't have to remember these questions. The instructions is for you to find a partner here. So there's two of you. And then one of you will start, and then the other one will get a turn. And for 15 minutes, actually a little bit less than 15 minutes, I'll ring a bell so you don't have to keep track of time. I want one of you to do a monologue out loud of what you're experiencing in the present moment. And it's exactly the same as the mindfulness practice that you do, except you're less likely to get lost. And also, you're saying it out loud. You're being witnessed in doing that. And the person who's listening just listens. You don't ask questions or encourage them or say anything. You can just listen attentively, respectfully, and kind of be present in a very direct way. You're there to really be the witness for them as the other person is speaking and talking this. And then I'll ring the bell, and then you can just say thank you, and then you can maybe breathe for a minute or two, and then the next second person can do the same thing. Just have that opportunity. And then we'll see what happens next. So why don't you see, I don't know if we're odd or even number, but why don't we find someone, doesn't really matter who, find someone. And because they're not talking back to you, and then when you feel, and also you're welcome to spread around a little bit, take some chairs and sit in the outer hall, or sit out in the porch, so we're not all kind of so loud in here. The next thing is also to form dyads. It could be the same person, or it could be another person. It might be nice to do someone different, One person is speaking, and the person who's listening is going to ask a question. And they're going to ask a question repeatedly. And the question you're going to ask is, tell me a way that you get in the way of your direct experience. Tell me a way that you get in the way of your direct experience. So tell me a way that you get in the way, that you interrupt or stop or get distant from your direct experience. And the person who's going to speak then will say whatever comes to mind. And when the person's finished, it might be just one sentence, it might carry on for a while explaining something. And when the person is finished, then the person asking the question, you should say thank you. And then take a moment and then ask the question again afresh. Just like you're asking it for the first time. Tell me a way that you get in the way of your direct experience. And we'll do this for 10 minutes. So one person will talk, we'll just be answering this question for 10 minutes, on and on and on. And you'll see, you know, probably have all kinds of answers that have already come to your mind, and you'll say those right away because you were prepared. After a while, you know, you can't, you run out of your prepared or your easy answers, and you can surprise yourself, see what comes up, you know, when you just kind of keep asking that question, exploring it, and anything that comes to mind that seems true enough, you can just say. And is that clear? Mm-hmm. So, yes, please. I think it's nice to do a different person, but if for some reason that you want to do the same person again, it's okay with me. I think my preference would be to do it fresh with someone else. So I'll ring a bell in about 10 minutes. Just to do one more exercise like this, but I want to check in with you first before I kind of go along. It might be a lot. It might be already too much to have done this much, kind of that kind of exploration. And maybe doing one more is too much, or maybe you're ready to go one more level with this. What do you think? I'm not going to tell you. Are you guys up for one more round?
Yeah.
It'd be the same way. It'd be 20 minutes.
It's like a game show, kind of. I'll bet it all.
You're on, yeah. That's what you expected to do. So, what? Lower the mic. Okay, can you hear okay? So with the same person, now the person who asks, same thing with asking a question, same question over and over again. And when the person finishes responding, whether it's one sentence or whether it's a long monologue, doesn't matter, but when the person's finished, just say thank you for having said that. And then freshly ask the question again. And the question is, what are you directly present for right now? What are you present for right now? So if I just do the same partner, and the two of you maybe can. Confidence in the Buddha, Dharma, and the Sangha, to have kind of very strong confidence, to have that as an orientation, or as a protection, as a refuge, as a offering a sense of direction in one's life. Together with a fourth element, which is called virtue, to start having a virtuous life, those four, have those four together. It said it inclines the heart towards liberation, towards the deathless, towards peace. And the example that's given is that if you have a tree that's growing where there's a strong east blowing wind, and it grows kind of, I guess it's blowing from, I don't know, east, I think I'm confused right now, but it's blowing from the west, it's blowing east. So the tree is leaning towards the, growing up, leaning towards the east. And if you come along and chop at the base of that tree, when it falls, it'll fall towards the east, because that's how it's inclined, that's where it's leaning. So when there's strong confidence in the Buddha, Dharma, and the Sangha, and a commitment to living a virtuous life, a life of integrity, that makes it so the heart is leaning in the direction of nirvana. And one of the images that's used for the, kind of switching images in a sense, but with the same idea, is the image or the metaphor of a stream. That once we put ourselves in a stream that's strong enough, that stream will carry us downstream. That's the nature of the stream. We get put in the stream, we get carried downstream. And there's different meanings of what that stream is, or different kinds of streams in our lives. But one of the very significant streams is a stream of what we experience in the present moment. When we're really present, there's a stream of what comes into the knowing, into awareness, into recognition, into you know, that fills our presence. And as was said, there's a kaleidoscope. There's a huge realm of what can you can be aware of in the present moment. And in a sense, at any given moment, we're aware of a slice of that, perhaps, or just one aspect of it. And part of Dharma practice is to trust something about the wisdom or the intelligence of the slice that happens to come to you, happens to come at any given moment. And so you're entering into this stream, of, in a sense, of slices of, you know, little segments of what's all available here. And that, there's something very powerful and transformative can happen when you meander, streams meander, right? When you meander in the stream of the present moment as it unfolds, and you're really being present and honest, direct, this is what's happening now, this is what's happening now. And what if you do that, all kinds of things will come in. There might be a lot of external things, but sooner or later you'll be aware of your subjective world as well. And then at some point you'll become aware of how the subjective world and the objective world are in relationship to each other. And all kinds of things will come up to be clarified, to be digested, to be worked through, or to be, you know, to, but we don't have to be in charge of that. We don't have to kind of choose what to look for. We don't have to be working on anything in particular. We can just trust the stream, the flow of what arises in the present moment when we're really there in the immediacy of the present. Is this making it clear enough? So entering the stream of this present moment. So well, I'd like to stop for lunch now. And I'd like to give you an exercise for lunch. And I don't expect you're going to do a very good job at this because it's lunchtime. But if you could carry these two questions with you into lunch and just let them kind of move through you and reflect on them, think about them any kind of way you want, that would be great. So the first question, I'm clear in my mind what it is. The first question is, in what ways do you mistrust staying in the stream of your present immediate moment experience? In what way do you somehow mistrust that, you know, that it's okay just to be there and stay there in what's unfolding in the present moment, in and of itself? The second question, maybe you want to divide lunch into half, you know, half of each question, I don't know how you want to do it, is for you to reflect on, think about, intuit, feel your way into what it might be like for you if you could really thoroughly, completely trust the stream of present moment experience as it unfolds, as it moves through. So we'll stop for lunch, and we'll take an hour for lunch. Wait a minute, an hour. We're running half an hour late, according to this tight schedule. We could just... And there's nothing in trusting the present moment that requires us to take a whole hour for lunch. But you might feel like you really want to have some space to go for a walk and have lunch. And should we do an hour until 2 o'clock, or should we do 50 minutes and come back at 10 to 2?
50 minutes,
be fine. Any objections? 45 minutes? 50-50. Any objections? It's okay, people? So I have to, so we have those two questions for lunch. I recommend that during this lunchtime, you maintain silence. Do a silent lunch. If you really feel like you want to talk to someone and they want to talk to you, then kind of do it as a walk, kind of a little further away so we keep this general area kind of a quiet place. I recommend that you eat lighter than you maybe otherwise would have, less food than you normally would have eaten for lunch. You can always snack later on, or we stop at 3:30, so you can, you know, eat all you want then. I mean, eat enough to sustain yourself and get through the afternoon, but err on the side of eating kind of lighter. And then if you can, if it feels right to you, I mean, take care of yourself during this lunchtime. So I don't know what that'll look like. Maybe it's laying down. I don't know what it means for you. But I have a little idea that going out for a walk, walking around the block, and getting some energy that way is a really good thing. So you have to decide that for yourself.